Amen. Well, we as a blessed people have the privilege now of looking into God's Word, into the Old Testament lesson as it comes to us this evening from the 9th chapter of Leviticus. It's found on page 87 of the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along there. Leviticus chapter 9, as we continue in our evening series in the third book of the Bible, the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living God. On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, "Take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And say to the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you." And they brought what Moses commanded in front of the tent of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, "This is the thing that the Lord commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people, and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded." So Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. The sons of Aaron presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver from the sin offering he burned on the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin he burned up with fire outside the camp. Then he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. And they handed the burnt offering to him piece by piece and the head, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering that was for the people and killed it and offered it as a sin offering like the first one. And he presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the rule. And he presented the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar, besides the burnt offering of the morning. Then he killed the ox and the ram and the sacrifice of peace offerings for the people. And Aaron's sons handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. But the fat pieces of the ox and the ram and the fat tail and that which covers the entrails and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver, they put the fat pieces on the breasts, and he burned the fat pieces on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh, Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. So far the reading of God's Holy Word. To His name be praise and glory. Let's look to Him once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are reminded of what a generous God You are as we consider the beauty, the richness, the power of Your written Word. We give You thanks for it, and we pray that through it this night, You might encourage each and every saint gathered here this evening. Lord, as I look out at the congregation, I'm encouraged by all the faces that I see, but a few that are with us tonight that are especially encouraging for us to see this evening. We think of Nancy and Mike Etheridge back with us for the first time in several months because they've been away because of Nancy's health. And we give you thanks that Nancy is healthy enough to worship with us tonight and that she and Mike are able to join us once again as we worship you and join us at the table of the Lord's Supper. May you especially encourage them. And Lord, we're encouraged to have the Mitchell family with us tonight as well. And we thank you for the good news of Jim's new call to serve as a minister of word and sacrament once again in a local church. And we give you thanks for that. We rejoice in your goodness to the Mitchell family and your goodness to your church in providing this call for Jim and his family. Bless them in that new call, we pray. And Lord, bless us as we look into your word. Feed us through word and sacrament this night. May we know that you are with us, meeting with us, feeding us, and equipping us by your grace. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, looking back on what we have seen, both in our study of Exodus and what we've seen so far in Leviticus, we can summarize what we've seen by saying that God delivered his people from the oppression of Egypt for the express purpose of worshiping him. They were saved, they were delivered in order to worship God. That, of course, foreshadows what Christ has done for us. He has delivered us from bondage to sin, bondage to idolatry, that we might worship the one true living and living God and serve him whose service is true and lasting freedom. We've seen the tabernacle, the sanctuary, that where that worship was to take place. We have seen God raise up specific individuals in whom he placed his spirit and whom he gifted to construct this tabernacle. And then we've seen the tabernacle raised up exactly according to God's instructions. Moses oversaw it, and Moses, as a type of Christ, did all that God gave him to do in that regard. We've seen the five offerings which were to be offered by the priests at the tabernacle. We've seen those described in detail in the first seven chapters of Leviticus. And as we saw last week from chapter 8, we saw the consecration, the setting apart of Aaron and his sons for the priesthood, those who would make those offerings and serve the Lord on behalf of the people. As we saw last week, those priests were cleansed, they were clothed, they were consecrated, and they were in communion with God. And all of that foreshadowed what we as the priesthood of believers are called to be. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We are clothed with his righteousness. We are consecrated to him by the Spirit, and we enjoy communion with him that he might equip us to be his priests as he does at the table before us this night through the communion meal that we will celebrate in a few moments, Lord willing. So much of this, as we've seen, pointing to Christ and pointing to Christ has called us to be as disciples living today. Well, in the passage before us this evening, we find those newly ordained Old Testament priests making their first sacrifices to the Lord and leading that first worship service at the tabernacle. And I want us to consider and apply what we see here in Leviticus chapter 9 under two headings this evening. First, Aaron's acceptable offering, taking all those offerings together and considering really as one offering made to the Lord by Aaron. And then second, our acceptable offering. So first, as we consider Leviticus chapter 9, Aaron's acceptable offering. Now, the idea of an acceptable versus an unacceptable offering is one that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. You may remember there that we have recorded the first murder in human history, and it was a fratricide. One brother murdered another. Cain killed his brother Abel. And at the center of that first murder was the issue of worship. Specifically, the offerings made by Cain and Abel. We're told that God looked upon Abel's offering with favor. That is, he regarded it as acceptable. He accepted Abel and his offering. He did not accept Cain and his offering. And you may remember that in his envy and his anger, Cain killed his brother Abel. Now, thereafter, in Scripture, anytime an offering was made, the question would be, will God accept it? You see, that those offerings made by those two brothers, it raised the issue. Some offerings are acceptable to God, some offerings are not acceptable to God. The question with every offering thereafter was, will God look on this offering and the offerer with favor? Both had to be acceptable in order for the offering to be effective. In the case of Cain and Abel, it is not clear whether Cain's gift itself was unacceptable to God. Cain, being a farmer, offered the fruit of the ground. Abel, being a herdsman, brought the firstborn of his flock. Later in Leviticus, we see that both kinds of offerings were prescribed by the Lord and therefore accepted by the Lord. What seems to have been the case with Cain and Abel was the attitudes of the two offerers. It was the attitudes that made the difference. Abel, as we read on in the New Testament, we see this clearly. Abel made his offering with love and faith towards God. Cain did not. Thus, Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was not. In Leviticus chapter 9, the question of the acceptableness of the offering once again comes to the fore. Aaron, newly set apart to the Lord as a priest, made the first offerings at the tabernacle. No pressure, Aaron, right? He's making the first offerings at the tabernacle. You will have noticed that the offerings that he made and the way that he made them were prescribed in the first seven chapters of Leviticus. Aaron made atoning sacrifices for himself and the priests and then for the people. He made the sin offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering. Signify that the pattern, the order in which they were made, signified the removal of sins first, the intercessions of the mediator, that those were necessary for communion with God to be restored, peace with God, fellowship with God to be restored. And after Aaron performed all the detailed rituals that all of those sacrifices involved, the question was, were Aaron and his offerings acceptable to God? God answered that question, didn't he? In verses 23 and 24. The answer comes there. When the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the offering. Notice that Aaron did not consume it. Aaron did not set it on fire. This was a supernatural fire from the Lord himself. It was a supernatural sign from the Lord. What did it signify? It was God's way of saying, yes, Aaron, yes, my covenant people, Aaron and his offering, every part of his priestly service were acceptable. Aaron and his priestly duties were acceptable to God on that day. God was pleased with what his servant Aaron had done. And the people knew that's what that fire from the presence of the Lord meant. They worshiped God in response. They praised God that the offerings which their high priest had made for them had been accepted by their holy God. Now, peeking ahead just a little bit into chapter 10, we see the sons of Aaron making an offering that was not acceptable to the Lord. And the results of that were fatal. What happened to Nadab and Abihu accentuates what was at stake when Aaron made his offering. Aaron made his offering faithfully, according to what God had prescribed. And God accepted both the offerer and the offerings that he made. As we'll look at in more detail, Lord willing, next week with Nadab and Abihu, they were very different offerers. And their offerings were different. They were not according to what God prescribed. And so their offering was not accepted. But here we see that Aaron's was, to the glory of God and to the joy of the people who responded to that supernatural manifestation that God had accepted Aaron's offering. They responded to that manifestation of God's favor with praise and adoration. So first, Aaron's acceptable offering. Well, what about us? What is our acceptable offering? Is it we ourselves? Or do we need something more? Do we need someone more? I think James B. Torrence answers this question best when he says this. There is only one true priest through whom and with whom we can draw near to God, our Father. There is only one mediator between God and humanity. There is only one offering which is truly acceptable to God, and it is not ours. It is the offering by which Christ has sanctified for all time those who come to God through Him. There is only one who can lead us into the presence of the Father by His sacrifice on the cross. Dear friends, Christ and His sacrifice on the cross are the only offerer and offering which are ultimately acceptable to God. Need I remind you that even Aaron was a sinner? Remember the golden calf incident? Even Aaron was a sinner. And even as pictured here in Leviticus 9, Aaron had to make sacrifice for himself, signifying that he was a sinner in need of atoning blood. Without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness of Aaron's sin. Those sacrifices which he made for himself and for all the priests and for all the people of Israel were temporary coverings. They were rituals that had to be repeated over and over again and which could not ultimately take away sin, as Hebrews 10:4 so clearly says to us. The one acceptable offering, Jesus Himself, offered Himself without blemish to God the Father by the power of the Spirit. And think of what He said on the cross. Think of how confident He was on the cross, even as He was undergoing the pain, the torture, the misery of the cross. Think about what he said with confidence relative to the acceptableness of his sacrifice. What did he say? It is finished. This was a case in which the high priest, the offerer of the sacrifice, pronounced the sacrifice acceptable as he was making it. Aaron dared not do such a thing. Aaron waited upon the Lord to give a sign that his sacrifice, that his offering was acceptable. But so confident was the Son of God in the work, the priestly work that he had performed, and then he was concluding there on the cross, so confident was he that it would be accepted that he declared its acceptableness right then and there, saying, "It is finished. All the work the Father has given me to do, I have done as the high priest of my people." In Leviticus chapter 9, God demonstrated that he accepted the high priest's sacrifice with a supernatural fire. How did God demonstrate that he accepted the sacrifice of our high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ? He raised his son from the dead, never to die again. The fire on the altar in Leviticus 9 was a temporary fire, supernatural sign, but a temporary one. What did God do on Easter morning? He raised his son from the dead, never to die again. It's glorious what God the Father has said in raising up his son. On Good Friday, Jesus, God's son, said of his sacrifice, "It is finished. It is acceptable." On Easter morning, God the Father said, "Amen. Yes, indeed. The sacrifice my son has offered, his self-sacrifice on the altar of Calvary, I have accepted it on behalf of all who will believe in him." Friends, may each of us be trusting in Christ and rejoicing in him. The people of God, when God demonstrated that he had accepted Aaron's sacrifice, they shouted and they fell on their faces. They were worshiping their God with hearts of gratitude. May our lives be marked by that kind of adoration of our God, the Lord Jesus, both the offerer and the offering, who offered himself as the Lamb of God on the altar of Calvary by the power of the eternal Spirit. To God the Father, who said, "Yes, I've accepted my son's sacrifice for all my people in all times and in all places. I have accepted it, and I'm demonstrating my acceptance of it by raising him from the dead." May we be like those Israelites, on our faces, worshiping God with hearts of gratitude and love for him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your redeeming love. We thank you for the types and shadows of it in the Old Testament. And we thank you for the fulfillment of it all in the person and work of your Son. We thank you that you demonstrated that his sacrifice for our sins, for every single one of our sins, was acceptable in your sight. That he paid the penalty that we deserve once and for all, that we might never have to drink one drop of your wrath, which our sins deserve. We thank you for your grace, which is pictured here at the table of our Lord. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would set apart the bread and the cup, that through this means of grace, you might nourish your saints. We come before you, Lord Jesus, as hungry sheep. We pray that by your Spirit and through these elements, you would feed our souls, that we might live faithfully as your disciples. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.